Me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, and we'll find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight, also cedar trees in abundance. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And he that hath not given, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build you the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the first section is verses 1 through 5. The field of Ornan becomes the place for the house of the Lord. David was stayed by the angel as he was elevated above the threshing floor of Ornan. David did not go then from that place to the Ark of the Covenant to offer his offering. Instead, he offered it there at the threshing floor of Ornan. And as the prophet king of Israel, he said, "So then, this is the house of the Lord." In other words, this will become the house of the Lord. For those of you that have studied Hebrew, you know that is and will be are both compassed under one particular Hebrew form. We call it the imperfect. And so the future and the present are both spoken of in the same by the same form in the Hebrew. So David could as well have said, this will be the house of the Lord, or this is the house of the Lord. Either one would be a good translation. All right, so what does David do then? He charges his son Solomon to build that house. There's so much typology going on in this passage. It's really hard to reckon it all. The Lord says to David, your son Solomon, who will build the house, will be a man of rest. The Hebrew word for rest there is Noah. He's going to be a Noah. He's going to be a man of rest. That's what Noah's name means. And that's where the name Noah comes from the verb Noah, to rest. And so we have some typology that is brought in from a long time ago, in that the Lord chooses that word to describe Solomon. Solomon, his name is Shlomo. That's how you pronounce it in Hebrew, which sounds an awful lot like Shalom, doesn't it? And what is Shalom? That is a Hebrew greeting, which means peace, or peace be upon you. And so Solomon's name is peace. His appellation is rest. And what shall he do? He shall build the house of the Lord. And he will be succeeded by the antitype later, who is a man of gospel rest, who is called the Prince of Peace, and who will build the house of the Lord. On this rock, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As David, his father, said, on this rock, the church will be built. The typology here is really thick. It's hard to miss. We don't have the time to draw it all out. David said, I wanted to build the house, but I'm a man of blood. There's another interesting typological phrase there. David said, I'm a man of blood. Now, let me ask you a question. Put on your theological thinking caps with me for a second. Was the house that David was describing, was that a house of blood or not? Of course it was. It was a house that three times in the year it looked like a slaughterhouse. Thousands of animals were killed. Over the period of several days, thousands of animals and blood flowed out of that place. David says, I'm a man of blood. I shouldn't build it. Anybody else have some dissonance with that? Because that house pointed to the man of rest and the man of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who with his own blood would stop all sacrifice. And so a bloody man could not build that house. He had to be a man of rest. He had to be a man of peace. He had to be a man that would represent the accomplishment and not the work. And that's why Solomon must build the house, because he represents the accomplishment of Christ and not the work of Christ up to the accomplishment, but the effect of it. Peace. Again, I said it's thick with typology. That particular point, it should catch your eye, because the house was a place of blood, and yet David, as a man of blood, was not authorized to build it. It must be a man that did not shed blood, because at the shedding of Christ's blood, all bloodshedding stops. Peace is completely made. Solomon stands for the effect of the work of Christ. David stands for the wars to get there, if you will. Okay? So that's the difference. That's the distinction between these two men here. Notice also, and this is where the typology breaks down, as all types do, the people of the nobles of the land, David turns to them, and he says, "Now, you help my son Solomon. You help my son Solomon build the house. You give yourselves to the work." Well, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need any help building his house. He's building it. He's building it by his own power. He's building it by his own strength. And yet, is there not perhaps something of a parallel in that we are stones in the house? We do have a part, right? As stones in the house, what do? We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us as new courses of brick that are laid in our day. And what do? We form the foundation or the lower portion for others who will come after us, who will be built on top of our labors. And so what is it incumbent upon us to do? To make sure that we take our place in the wall, not as those errant bricks that are often turned outward. Hey, look at me! But that we come and we take our place where we belong in the wall, straight, level, and plumb with the rest. And that all glory goes not to the bricks, but to the builder, to Jesus Christ himself. And so we must then lend our efforts to Christ's efforts as he builds. We know we don't enrich him. We're not offering something that builds the house of God. We are actually a part of that building. That's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. "I'm a wise master builder. You Corinthians, you're a building. So let's get after it. Let's get built up. Let's build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Let's speak the truth in love and edify one another as we are able. Let's dedicate ourselves to the teaching office of the church, the gifts of Christ, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are given for the building of the house, so that we might learn to speak the truth one to another and build it as well as co-laborers." So then let us understand all of those things in their proper and biblical context, not usurping out of our stations, but working within those stations such that the walls of the house might be built, as we say in the construction industry, straight, level, and plumb, with no weaknesses, with no chinks. Let's let the mortar that binds us together be the grace of God in Jesus Christ and our love one for another. Let us also take our place. Let us stand on those who have gone before, not drawing back one whit from their faith. And let us also form that kind of course for those who will come after us as we set an example for them. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Let's stand.